The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app, which is free to download, by the way, and on cable channel 1301, Access Pittsfield. Sean Sear here with you this morning. It's Thursday, August 13th, middle of August already. And you know, when we get to this point in August, we start thinking of back to school. And who better to talk about back to school than the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools, Dr. Latifa Phillips. We have her on the program for the full hour this morning. Looking forward to talking with her about all the things that have been happening over the summer, which, by the way, things don't stop in the schools over the summer, even though maybe kids and teachers don't have to think about it, but there's been a lot going on. So we're going to talk about that and much, much more. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. Near steady temperature in the lower 60s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear. Lows in the mid 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, kind of a short forecast there, but it's kind of nice. Nothing big happening, no big heat waves or huge thunderstorms or windstorms or anything like that. So that's kind of nice. We can take that as it is. Welcome back again. Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And before we get started this morning, just wanted to give a tip of the hat to somebody who meant a lot to the Pittsfield school community over the past 40 to 50 years, Dr. Bill Travis, who passed away recently. He was a former superintendent of schools here in the Pittsfield Public Schools. We had lots of interactions with Dr. Travis here at PCTV and WTBR-FM, and just wanted to wish his family the best. There's a great article about him right at the top of the Berkshire Eagle this morning. Definitely invite you to read that. He was a heck of a guy and very, very smart, obviously dedicated guy. And a true gentleman. I think that's the way I would describe Dr. Travis. So, all about schools this morning, but definitely a tip of the hat to our friend Dr. Travis. All right, good morning again, and welcome Dr. Phillips. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Sean. I am doing well. I'm excited to get ready for the school year. It's pretty unbelievable.
I know. It creeps up on you quick, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And I imagine, certainly nothing has stopped for you over the summer. It seems like probably you just had the graduations for the two high schools at Tanglewood and the end of the school year. And it seems like just a moment ago, and here we are talking about the 26 to 27 school year.
Yeah, you know, that's right. It's funny. People would always stop me. Oh, are you getting a break over the summer? It's like, no, we are year round. Yeah. We actually had a great summer program this year, in addition to our credit recovery for high school and some of our 21st century summer programming for elementary students. We also had a middle school summer school this year. This was something new that we put in the budget to support students who maybe had high, chronic absenteeism or just weren't passing their courses. In the past, we just moved the students
along.
And this year that was one of our priorities was to, have that extra opportunity over the summer to get to provide instruction in the summer bridge, mm-hmm. right?
And that's a critical time, too, that middle school time period, where if a student, you know, maybe had been a decent student through elementary school and then suddenly something is not gelling, not jibing, you know, in middle school time period, that's the time really mm-hmm. to get that intervention in and to say, okay, we noticed, you know, you need a little help here. Let's get that. And the summer is pretty much the only time. Once you get back into the school year, right, it's right back into the day-to-day.
Right. No, that's right.
Yeah. And before we get going on some of the other stuff, I want to say congratulations to you on becoming the permanent superintendent for the Pittsfield Public Schools.
Thank you.
So mazel tov. And definitely well-earned, and I think a lot of people in Pittsfield are really glad that that decision was made and that you're going to stick around for a bit.
Yeah, you know, I am really happy being here. Happy with my team. Mm-hmm. You know, last night we added the last member to my executive team, and it's just a really wonderful team. This has been the most functional team I've been on, and it's just we all row in the same direction, and we all care about improving this school district. So,
well, and kudos to you too, because basically you've had to build that team as starting in as superintendent around this time last year. So, you know, that really is you know, sort of a creation of yours to move forward and to have that team that you can work with.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's talk about the back to school time period. So we're getting to the middle of August. We're starting to think about it. What are the sort of big dates that you want people to know about? What are the back to school? It's always now it's before Labor Day, which back when I was a kid, it was always after Labor Day. So but it does now start that week before. Right.
Yep. So our first day back for students is August 31st, Monday. And our teachers and administrators always come back before that. So we are looking forward to welcoming our new teachers. We have an orientation and new teacher academy that will span the entire year. But for students, we have some newly configured schools. So we've got the closing of Morningside and the assignment of students to at least four of our elementaries. And we've got the 5-6 campus at Herberg and the 7-8 at Reed. And so one of the activities for Morningside students going to their newly assigned schools is we have a bus ride because many of our students weren't bus riders.
Right.
So that's going to take place. I want to make sure I get the right date for
absolutely.
You, but I'll look during our break.
Okay.
But we'll have an opportunity for students to ride the bus. Not only will they learn the rules of the bus, but they'll have the experience of riding the bus and then go play on the playground, you know, run out a little energy and then get back on the bus and go home.
It's really important to feel like welcome in a new place, right?
Right.
That you belong, that you're familiar with it maybe before that first day of school, right?
Yeah.
And just to say, okay, I've done this before. I've been on this bus before.
Right.
You know, it builds confidence, right? Especially for little kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And their families, I might say, too, right? Because the families come along with this, and they have to also feel comfortable and welcomed in these new buildings where maybe they had been, you know, going to Morningside all along and it's right there, you know, in the community, and now it's a little different.
Right. And I know that was one of the concerns families raised, you know, in the past they could walk across the street or down the street, and now you've got to walk to the bus stop and you know, put your child on the bus. So
Well, that's really important.
But so then we also have a welcome for our 5-6 Herberg students. We've got a new principal at Herberg, and on August 18th.
And
I'm jumping the gun here.
I was going to say, that's kind of big news, too, because we haven't explored that yet, right? So, obviously, Mike Tabor, the principal last year at Herberg Middle School, did move on. And a lot of people have known Mike over the years with his involvement there at Herberg. Who is our new principal coming in at Herberg for 5 and 6 next year?
Yeah, so our new principal is Ron. Gosh, Sean, I'm sorry.
I did. To be fair, I did catch you the night after the school committee meeting, and that makes for a very long day.
You know, when you emailed me, and I said I don't want to come in after the new school year starts. I said, but Sean, you are catching me after a late night.
we do have a very tight schedule here, trying to get you in as things move along here in the summertime, and it always goes so quickly. Before we know it, there's no time to bring you in, and then school would have been started. So
so I apologize for you know, if I'm a little slow this morning.
All right.
But we did hire Ron Tomlin,
mm-hmm.
and he actually came out of retirement.
Oh, wow.
So one of the changes we had to make was to our postings. And in the past, we just said, we're hiring our middle school principal. And we said, why aren't we getting as many applicants as we want?
Hmm.
And so, you know, I've often mentioned that in the other districts, the 5-6 campus was like the crowning jewel of the district. Mm. Everyone wanted to be in that campus. So we had to rewrite this. And when Ron saw this, he said, I love, you know, I love teaching 5th and 6th grade. Those are my years. Mm. I'm coming out of retirement for your school. So really excited to have him.
It's going to be a different environment and feeling, I think, for having a building that's just 5th and 6th graders compared to two buildings that were 6, 7, and 8. And everybody remembers the middle school years. And if you do remember that, you know, it can be a very difficult time. But I think that 5th and 6th grade is just on that cusp, right,
mm-hmm.
of that changeover between kind of little kid and, you know, growing, maturing teen and coming into adulthood. So,
yeah, and we really wanted someone more experienced mm-hmm. Coming into that role. Mm-hmm. It's such an important transition. So we are happy, mm-hmm. you know, looking forward to everyone meeting Ron. I think they will agree that we have a great pick and we're lucky to have them.
And there are going to be a couple of welcome back dates at Herberg, right? One for the 5th graders and one for the 6th graders. And do you have the dates of those?
That's right. So on August 25th, we have our 6th graders returning.
Okay.
And then on...
And of course, these 6th graders are coming from all the 8 elementary schools
mm-hmm,
from last
mm-hmm,
year.
Right.
So they would have been moving up to 6th grade no matter what.
Right, right.
So this is like their first time, you know, with a cohort of kids from all over the city.
Right. And that's the same for the 5th graders as well.
This year it is,
It's
yeah.
their first time in a new building.
Right.
So I think it's a real opportunity. We're looking forward to welcoming them. So on the 25th, mm-hmm. the 6th graders will come. They'll come with their families. They'll be able to have an orientation in the auditorium, mm-hmm. tour the school, get to know the administration. On the 26th, the 5th graders will have their welcome night.
Nice. And again, I can imagine, you know, those big wide eyes as they walk into this new building and they come into the auditorium and they look around. I don't know about you, but I remember spaces to me in buildings where I go back as an adult and look around and I'm like, it's much smaller than I thought it was, because when I was a little kid, everything looked big. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, certainly when you're going from an elementary school to a larger building like a Herberg, I don't know. It's still going to be called Herberg Middle School?
Herberg.
Yeah? Okay. So, you know, you walk around and you're like, oh, I'm in the big time now, right?
That's right. And I mentioned at the meeting last night that school committee member Heather McNeese helped us with the logos,
nice.
Kind of freshen up the logos.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see that billboard and you see the logo, one of her strengths is school spirit and design. So that was a great contribution.
Great. And of course, there's a lot to do with moving teachers around and making sure that you have the right staffing. We're going to talk about sort of teacher, you know, recruitment and retention and things later on in the program. But how is that process going along this year, staffing those two buildings, Reed and Herberg?
Sure. And can I share the date for Reed?
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump
Reed,
ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Reed
we don't want a short trip.
Reed also has a welcome night. And that is for 7th and 8th graders who are new to the building.
Okay.
That's going to be on August 18th, and that's at 6 p.m.
Great. And that's for all Reed families. So if you're coming into Reed, you were a 6th grade family last year, no matter where you were, whether you're in Reed or Herberg, you're going to Reed this year, and that's your chance to come for a welcome. Are you calling it an orientation? Or
No, it's a welcome.
Welcome, yeah.
It's a welcome. I believe at the Reed event there will be food trucks as well. I think they really want it to be a festive community event.
Will they have a chance to sort of walk around the building and take a look and at the different spaces and things like that?
Yep, absolutely. Nice. That is the goal of these sessions.
Yeah, meet some of their teachers potentially.
Yeah, so it will be administrator focused.
Okay.
The teachers come back a little later in the year. I say a little later in the year. It really is a couple days later.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
By the way, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and you're listening to Dr. Latifah Phillips. She is the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools. This is our back-to-school episode here this morning. Yes, it is that time of the year already on August 13th. What do you see as the biggest challenges for both of those middle schools this year in that reorganization, knowing that this will be the first time for this district where all of the students in all of those grades will be in a single building? That's a real model change.
Right. So for the fifth, sixth grade campus is brand new for the students. Mm-hmm. So the students don't know any differently.
Right.
So that's kind of a blank slate when they come into the building. This year we did keep the fifth grade instructional model similar to the elementaries. Mm-hmm. So the students in fifth grade will have one social studies, English language arts teacher and one science math teacher. Mm-hmm. There will be a teacher team teaching one set of students.
Okay. And that will differ a bit from, let's say, fourth grade, because fourth grade in most elementary schools, they're with one teacher. And I don't know if that's true across the whole district. So
yeah, it's not true across the whole district. Mm-hmm. Some of our bigger schools do have
the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it will be different for the electives,
okay,
where the students will go to a different teacher for the electives and in a different room.
So it's a small adjustment, but it's not as big of an adjustment as going from like a single teacher to four teachers or five teachers or something like that, where you have to rotate around, because we all remember that transition of whenever we had that to change, and that was a big adjustment. So it seems like that's kind of a step.
Right,
you go from
right.
maybe a single or two teacher team, staying with the two teacher team, and then what happens in sixth grade?
So in sixth grade, we do go back to the traditional model where there's one teacher per core instructional area.
But that'll feel more comfortable, it sounds like, because they'll be in the same building.
Right.
So from fifth grade to sixth grade, it'll be, okay, I'm still going to the same building, but the model is changing just a little bit, and I feel like an upperclassman, right?
Right, right. And that's a model we're going to continue to study this year and see, is this something that we continue in future years? Mm-hmm. Do we move everyone to the single teacher per grade model? Do we keep it the way it is? Mm-hmm. I mean, it really will depend on how the students receive the model, how teachers feel, and then also operationally, are we able to share substitutes and things like that in the building?
Yeah, and that can be a difficult thing too, right? Because not only is the teacher staffing important, but just like any business, people need to be out sometimes. They're sick or they're whatever, and you need people to come in and substitute teach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real difficult resource in some ways, right? Because if you don't have someone available in the building, now you're scrambling. Now you're finding somebody. Can someone cover this class or whatever?
Right.
And is there sort of a plan for working some of that out, or are there needs in that area where we can, continue to improve?
In the area of operations or
substitutes mainly?
Substitutes provide an important resource in the buildings. I think we did pretty well last year with being able to always get substitutes, but that's an area for me to watch.
Yeah.
I know in our other districts sometimes it was a scramble where we had a shortage. So.
Right. And then I guess the last thing that some families are still concerned about would be the bus schedules, knowing, especially since all fifth and sixth graders are now going to be going to Herberg. If you're coming from what was traditionally a Reed district, you're going to get on a bus somewhere and move, all the way across the city and maybe exactly opposite to head over to Reed. Are those schedules published, or is that something that the families will see coming down the road? How's that going?
Yeah, the families will see that down the road, which is typical.
Mm-hmm.
Our transportation department makes the routes up until a couple days before the school year, and that's because every new student that comes changes the route. Mm. And so while I know that families want the schedule as early as possible, what we also don't want is to give you a schedule and then a couple days later it changes.
Yeah.
That would create a bit of chaos, but.
Well, and of course, families sometimes are in transition also during the summer. They might be moving or moving into the district or out of the district, right? So those bodies, you have to move those bodies around with the buses. And somehow you have to know, you know, how many are there? Where are they on the street? Where do they have to, where is the bus stop going to be? How far do they have to walk to it? All those things are just individual details, which obviously each one of those means a lot to a family and a student.
Yeah, it is a tremendous undertaking by the transportation department. Mm. It is a lot of work, but we are intending to get the schedules out as soon as we can. Mm. As I shared, Morningside would have, you know, be on their bus route. That will be on the 21st, okay. Friday the 21st, and then a couple days after that. We do intend for all families to get their routes.
Great. So people should watch for the routes to be published in. They get contact by the public schools through email. And what else should they be watching?
They'll get a letter in the mail.
Okay.
And likely they can also call in to their school to get that information.
Okay. So pay attention to that. This is the time in the next 2 weeks if you're curious about where your student is going to be catching the bus and what time. That was another big thing, right, with the middle schools is that you had to go to a three-tiered bus schedule where it used to be two-tiered. I think the middle schools and high schools had the first run of the buses, right? And we only have so many buses. Mm-hmm. So they had to get all the kids to those schools, and then the buses turned around and started transporting the elementary school students. So now it's in three different tiers, and the start times of the schools changed ever so slightly, right? That was part of how this had to work.
Yep. So in order for us to keep transportation within 45, 50 minutes, we did have to shift times a little bit, but that's an area to study for this year.
Yeah.
This is a year where the transition is not over, you know, so everything we put into place, we did our best planning, and then we are going to monitor instruction, monitor school culture, the environment, staffing, bell schedule, transportation, and come budget time when we have to make decisions for next year, we'll share what we found and discuss any changes for the next year.
It's a lot of data points,
it's a lot.
Right? It's a lot of things to look at. And, and of course, all of those things mean something, as we said, to families and students. But you need to be able to say, okay, we implemented such and such a plan or a policy. How did we do?
Right.
And what kinds of things do you have to measure to look at that?
Right. And I think it's important to know that change doesn't happen easily, right? So you make your best plan, you do your best preparation, and then you have to be nimble, you know, while the change is underway and learn.
Right.
And so I do anticipate a successful year. I know we're also going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I just want everyone to be open that we are taking on a learning stance this year across the board, because that's how you get better.
Yeah, learning doesn't stop when you graduate from high school, that's for sure. And even the schools can learn a thing or two. Dr. Latifa Phillips, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. She is the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools. And one interesting headline I saw over the summer was that there's a change to how the elementary schools are supplied, which I thought was very interesting. And it seems like in the past, you know, many years, decades even, there seems to be a struggle every year for teachers don't have the right supplies in their classroom. They don't have pencils. They don't have rulers. You know, they don't have the things. And the teachers either have to supply them themselves or the families have to contribute and put in. And there was a bit of a change this year where I think you announced that those schools will have the supplies they need. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So my understanding, talking with my team, is that we don't send supplies, required supplies lists home, and that we're supposed to be able to supply all of that. And so that is my anticipation, Sean, is that, you know, if a supplies list does go home, it's not a required list.
Okay.
Sometimes schools and classrooms, you know, or maybe even from the PTOs, they want to collect additional items for their, their school.
And that's critical support from the PTOs.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it is always helpful when families send items to the school, but as far as the required supplies for a student to be successful in school, that should come from us.
Yeah. And that's part of an equity equation, isn't it? That and I think that's been kind of the theme of your superintendency so far, is that, you know, why is it that we've got struggling schools, but we're, you know, continuing to allow the other schools to have, you know, as much or more support, where the schools that need support aren't getting it, really, you know, not equitable. So the support now needs to follow the student.
Right.
And,
right,
and the needs of the student.
Right. That is our goal, our intention.
And so I think that's fantastic. And it's something that, you know, it's a kind of a basic model change. You know, it's not doing things the way we've always done them. And again, like you said, change is hard. It's hard for people to grasp onto that sometimes until they see the results. And I'm sure that, you know, in the long run, you'll have to look back and say, did that work? And how did that affect the other schools? I'm sure there's always a balance, right, that you're dealing with.
Yep. And it's ongoing work again to make the most equitable decisions.
Yeah. Let's talk about how difficult it can be over the summertime, especially for teacher placement. And I know I watched a little of the school committee meeting last night, and some of that was about the vacancies in the district. And this is not anything new. Obviously, every year you have retirements, you have people for teaching leaving the district, you have new teachers coming into the district. But eventually, you know, you get to this August time period, and this is the scramble, right? This is the time where you're like, okay, do we have someone for every one of these positions? So what's what's that struggle been like this year, and how does it compare to what you saw last year?
Yeah, so we are in a better place filling our vacancies, but one thing I am seeing, and I don't have a solution just yet, we have late resignations in August, and but we don't often have a pipeline of candidates to fill the position. And so, you know, it's a real challenge for the schools and in the principal to feel like my building's fully staffed.
Right.
And then 2 weeks before school, they have to look for a candidate.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about studying students that are choosing out in their families. We also want to have those exit interviews for staff, even an interview for someone who maybe took the job and then took another one to really understand what would have kept you here, because it's incredibly disruptive.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, I think if a teacher is intending to retire, that's another whole situation, right? And usually they'll know that near the end of the school year. They probably, you know, give notice or whatever in March or April or something, saying, okay, you know, the end of the school year, I'll be retired. And you can plan for that.
Right.
It's the stuff over the summer where it's like, okay, now it's like the free market experience, right? You've got teachers like, okay, well, I've got a job here in Pittsfield. I'm also interviewing in, you know, Lenox or in Dalton or something. And suddenly it's like, oh no, that's a vacancy we weren't expecting.
Right. And we also have the domino effect in our own district, where a position will open up and then someone else in another building will say, oh, I'd like to go to that building. So now we just, you know, our openings bounce around. And so, you know, I've spoken with a couple of principals this week. And again, I don't know the solution just yet to how do we reduce that you know, rotation of teachers. But the only way we can find out is to at least start by asking.
Yeah. Yep. And again, data point, right? Knowing some at least anecdotal ideas of what's going on, and you can sort of get from there what maybe some of the solutions could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're reaching that top of the hour, Dr. Phillips, where we're going to take our quick break and thank our underwriters and give our station ID. And we'll come back with more. I want to definitely talk about what they discussed last night with school choice and student retention and things like that in the second half. Maybe chat a little bit about the PHS building and what might be happening there in the next few years, the condition of the building and things like that. Lots of stuff to talk about. I almost guarantee I'm not going to get through my whole list, as usual. But thanks again for being here this morning. And we'll be back with more with Dr. Latifah Phillips, the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools, here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Dreaming of owning your own home? Don't wait. Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity has applications open now for beautiful new homes under construction in Pittsfield and Housatonic. But hurry, opportunities like this don't last. Space is limited and deadlines are fast approaching. Visit BerkshireHabitat.org today and take your first step toward affordable home ownership. Your future starts now.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge, and the PCTV Select app, and on channel 1301, Access Pittsfield. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. On the 13th of August, Dr. Latifah Phillips, my guest for the rest of the program. And we'll be right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's get to the weather forecast one more time and find out what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Here goes.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. Near steady temperature in the lower 60s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear. Lows in the mid 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Nice kind of smooth out day. It's not bad. We can take that for late summer. I guess, is it late summer? It's midsummer still? I don't know. But it's, nothing big, no big heat waves, no big thunderstorms or wind storms or anything else. Just like a nice couple of days coming up with lower humidity, I heard, tomorrow too, which always makes it feel a little bit better around here in the Berkshires. Makes for a nice Tanglewood night, doesn't it? When you don't have that real hot humidity and threat of storms and things like that. All right. Welcome back, Dr. Latifa Phillips. My guest, thanks again for being here, Dr. Phillips.
Glad to be here.
Always appreciate you coming in, especially early morning, the morning after a late school committee meeting on Wednesday. It's just the way it worked out. just to follow up a couple things when we were talking about before the break, teacher vacancies. And one of the areas that was highlighted last night at the school committee meeting was special education teachers. Are they more difficult to place teachers in those positions? And I heard a statistic last night which blew me away, which was 25% of the students in the Pittsfield Public Schools are connected with the special ed department one way or another. They have a 504, they have a, IEP, or whatever else. That seemed like a big number to me. Is that larger than other districts have?
It is larger. Yeah. And our students with 504s aren't within that 25% count.
Okay, good to know.
So,
sorry.
But it is a large percentage of students on an IEP, and we have a lot of staffing to support students, and it is an area, it is a hard to staff area. Yeah.
It is a strength of the Pittsfield Public Schools, though, also, if you think about it, that there are other school districts that would not be able to manage this as well and not provide those kinds of resources and those kinds of services to students that really need it. So in a way, you look at it and you say, it's a good thing the Pittsfield Public Schools can handle this.
That's right. And we do have a lot of different opportunities and programs that we're able to provide in our public school district.
Yeah. But it is an expensive enterprise as well, right? The special education department by itself is a big chunk of the budget of the Pittsfield Public Schools.
It is a large chunk, especially for out-of-district students. Mm-hmm. So if we can't meet a student's needs in our public schools, yep, we need to send them to a specialized school.
Mm. And that might be sometimes a residential school as well, which are very high cost as well, right?
Yes.
So what are the strategies for placing new teachers in those special education placements, and how confident are you that we can do that before the beginning of the school year?
So we do have a contracted service where we are able to get some contracted teachers into our district. In some cases, we have to identify long-serving paraprofessionals that we provide support to. And in some cases, we might be able to get a general ed teacher and be able to provide them with training and support.
Because it is a specialized field also, right?
Right.
It's not if you were just a general teacher that you wouldn't necessarily port over, but there could be some training that helps with that.
Right. It's from a teacher and education program perspective, it's a whole nother area of licensure and certification. And so that is something that we will have to be intentional about. And that's why I set one of my goals being recruitment, because that's going to need to start right after we get settled into the school year. Let's start planning our recruitment for next year.
Yeah. Sort of like the folks that come in and talk about the Pittsfield 4th of July parade. As soon as the 4th of July parade is over one year, they're working on the next one, right?
So I would imagine that level of planning.
Yeah. Even though you're just starting the school year, you're automatically thinking about what's going to happen for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's also the retention and making sure that once we have someone, especially in a hard-to-fill position, that we provide the support. We continually check in. What do you need? You know, we want to keep you here. We welcome you here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to know that that support is there, right? Because it sometimes can be a difficult job, but if you have the support to rely on and know that you're welcome and that it's a great place to be and a great place to work and a rewarding place to work, then that sometimes can make all the difference for somebody to stay or go, you know, in any job, not just in education.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, all right, let's go on to school choice, because that seems to be a hot topic. And there was certainly an article a couple weeks ago by Greg Sakenik of the Berkshire Eagle. I thought he did a really good job on that article, a very comprehensive job. But it certainly outlines an issue. It's not just unique to Pittsfield, but as we saw, the Berkshires seem to be kind of a hotbed of school choice activity, where Pittsfield in general loses how many students, like 500 or 600 students a year to school choice, which is probably one of the highest in the state. I don't know if it's per capita the highest, but it was one of the highest numbers.
It is very high. I didn't really engage in any choice back in my prior district. So when I came here and saw, wow, this is quite a number. But it is something that's been a part of our district for over a decade.
And actually,
so these numbers have been numbers of students have been exiting for over 10 years.
Right. And it all started in the early 90s, I guess, with the School Reform Act or whatever it was that put in the fact that you could transfer. But some of that is kind of frozen in time, right? Like the amount of reimbursement that comes to like an accepting school district was $5,000 in 1993. And in 2026, it's $5,000, right? So it really never changed. And so it seems like it's a lose-lose in some situations, right, where Pittsfield loses the students and therefore loses the money for those students. But then the accepting schools also, maybe they're educating their students at $15,000 per student and they're getting $5,000 in return. So nobody's really happy with that. And yet it's a state, you know, law. So everybody seems to have to work within those boundaries.
You know, it's tricky because on the one hand, you know, families do want choice in where their children go. But in looking around surrounding districts, there are some cases where the district population might be 30-40% Pittsfield residents. And so that's, you know, Pittsfield residents are then, you know, making other districts be more...
Well, they would be facing some very different choices, wouldn't they? If there was no school choice and no Pittsfield students coming in. And by the way, those students are the ones with families that can transport them there and have options, right?
So
whether the law was originally supposed to be more equitable or make competition work to improve the schools, it seems to have had unintended consequences.
Right. No, that's right. It's if you can transport your child 20 minutes, 30 minutes away, you then have the choice.
And there was another story, you know, it seems like it's all education this morning, even with the Berkshire Eagle. On the B section, there was an article there talking about the look at consolidation potentially in the Northern Berkshire schools. There's four districts up there, you know, Mount Greylock and Adams Cheshire and Northern Berkshire, where they're looking at declining enrollment and saying, okay, what are we going to do about this? There's no decisions have been made, but there's a lot of talk about that and saying, okay, how do we move forward and deal with this? Some of that could also be connected with school choice. Certainly there's a charter school in Adams, which we know about here in Pittsfield, and a lot of Pittsfield students are going to that charter school as well. So there's sort of a lot of moving parts there, but the town districts, I would imagine, and Adams Cheshire probably feels some of that pinch just as much as the Pittsfield schools do.
Yeah. These are really difficult. These are really difficult mm-hmm. decisions.
Do these benefit students and families, though? Are they coming out on top on this? Or, you know, we certainly know that the pressures on the Pittsfield Public Schools and other school districts can be difficult to maintain those, you know, all the things we talked about, teacher retention and, student learning and the data points and all the other things. Has this made a benefit for students and their education in the long run, you think?
You know, it's hard for me to answer that question, yeah. Sean. I just know that, for the students here, mm-hmm. we want to make it the best education system. And over time, with the goals that we have, we think that Pittsfield will be a district of choice. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to focus here on making sure our students get the best that they can get. And I think when we're able to have those outcomes and when we're able to communicate all of the great things happening here, people will look differently about both staying here and returning to the district.
Yeah. So what are the things that the public schools can do to sort of turn that perception around, right? And that seems to be the theme, certainly over the past 5 or 10 years, looking at that and saying, certainly the middle school reorganization is probably a key piece of mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. Because that was where I think reportedly we were losing most of the students when they got to that middle school age, and the parents and the families would say, okay, this is when we're going to choice our students out for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. There's a perception maybe mm-hmm. that the Pittsfield Public Schools are not the place to send your kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My kids both went through the Pittsfield Public Schools, and I can tell you that they got as good of an education mm-hmm. or better than they could have gotten at any other school district. They did just fine. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's hard because that idea doesn't always permeate, right? It's the negative stuff that permeates. So mm-hmm. how do we turn that battleship around of perception?
Yeah, I think that's part of the communication goal mm-hmm. is sharing out what are the positive things happening, because oftentimes there may be a focus on just the negative mm-hmm. and then 5% of what's happening in the district that's negative becomes the spotlight.
Yeah.
And then everyone is thinking, oh, look, they have a negative perception, but we need to do more to share out the positive things in the schools mm-hmm. as well as the programs.
Yeah.
So our restructuring, as we continue to build that out, sharing that out, mm-hmm. know, the intention was not just to have traditional education in the schools. It was to be better prepared for college planning, mm-hmm. career planning, social emotional development. So those will be reasons why students and families should stay here. Mm. In our elementaries, we are, not only do we want to be great at traditional education, but we're looking at special programs. So we've got our inclusion school, mm-hmm. Stearns, mm-hmm. and we need to share out more about why that's a special model mm. here in our district and why you should go.
Right.
It's
that
a magnet
anywhere
school.
Else in Berkshire
nope.
County.
And we're looking at, we're exploring a dual language program. Hmm. And that's something that I think may not exist in our county. Yeah. I don't know if it does or not, but it's an opportunity for multilingual speakers and monolingual speakers. You know, let's take advantage of the opportunity and mm-hmm. resource we have. So
what grade would something like that start in?
So, we would look at elementary, and this is very
oh,
much
sure.
at the
that's,
at
that's
the
why
idea
we love this program,
planning
right?
yeah. stages.
but that's where great ideas sometimes
yeah,
start.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a common program in many urban districts. Hmm. When you have a sizable number of students in particular that speak another language, we have large numbers of Spanish speakers, Portuguese speakers, and it would be very reasonable for us to have a program that allows 50% native Spanish speakers, 50% monolingual English speakers to be learning academically in two languages. Mm. So that's an opportunity at the infancy stages.
Well, I think it's, you know, you consider how, generally speaking, Americans don't have that exposure to a second language very early.
Right.
And so by the time you get to it in, let's say, you know, either late middle school or early high school or something, it seems very, you know, say it, foreign, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, it feels different. But if you get to them earlier and you expose them to a different language, which also involves different culture and different ideas and things like that, it really expands the opportunities and the perspectives, I think, of students. But we don't always do that here in America.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I think because of the oceans, you know, in other countries, you're exposed to other languages from birth.
Right. It is very common in other countries. And that's part of taking advantage of our diversity here is embracing bilingualism, biculturalism. It is not an easy thing to set up a program as this. The hiring is always going to be critical.
Yeah, very
and
specialized.
And sustainability. Mm-hmm. You can't start something that you can't sustain. But I'm just sharing that these are things that you know, will make Pittsfield, will make families think twice and look twice about our district.
Right. Dr. Latifah Phillips, my guest here this morning. If you're just tuning in, she's the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Last night at the school committee meeting, some discussion about exit interviews for families that have choiced students out. How would something like that work? Have we done it in the past? And, you know, I think it would be great if it was a universal requirement. I'm sure you can't require people to take an exit interview, but boy, it would be good to know what those, what the reasons are that people would choice out. And then you get some strategy, right, for how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a lot of discussion about the exit interviews, and I am open and on board to doing that. One of the things I was sharing last night is that I'm most familiar with the process from students who are requesting to choice into our district.
Mm-hmm.
And so in many cases, the conversation about choicing is through the receiving district.
Okay.
And so we often don't know when someone is electing through the choice program to go to another district.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an existing student and you choice out, we typically know through a records request. And so we talked about, you know, if a student requests a records request or they're withdrawing, we can add that extra questioning of why are you leaving? Mm-hmm. Are you relocating or are you choicing? And then that's one way where we can then have, you know, that exit conversation. Mm.
There's probably a lot of different reasons, right? I mean, I would imagine parents' work schedules or locations or things like that would play in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the choice applications that we've received from elementary and middle have been parents working here and wanting their child to be here.
Mm-hmm.
At the high school level, we have quite a few wanting to go to Taconic.
Right, and that's a great success of the public schools.
Mm-hmm. And then also at Pittsfield High, it's a bigger, larger high school. Larger schools tend to have more opportunities within their curriculum offerings, sports, you know.
Career paths.
Career paths.
Advanced placement.
Right.
Right, things like that.
Yep.
Things that you can't get just anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so fantastic being able to know some of that information. I didn't know that we know more about the students choicing in than we do about the choicing out. So that's a very interesting piece of information. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and the data that we could gather from that to know more about it. And a little bit of time left. It's gone so fast here this morning. Wanted to talk about the building at Pittsfield High School.
Mm-hmm.
The venerable old PHS building, right, that was built during the Great Depression, as we all know, in 1931, and the building that everybody says will outlast us all. but it is now showing, you know, some signs of age, shall we say, even though it has been renovated once in the 1970s, which is amazing, actually, that a school almost 100 years old only took one major renovation in that entire time.
Wow.
You're looking to get some state funding, and there's going to be a tour. Tell us about that, about how the state is going to look at PHS and see that maybe they can help fund the improvements to that building.
Sure. So this is still part of our application process, so we haven't been awarded a grant. But part of the process, I guess the first stage is they receive the applications. Mm-hmm. And then a second part is they determine whether they want to visit. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at. The visit is a team of architects and other experts and administrators from the Massachusetts School Building Authority coming to Pittsfield High. The staff that they requested from our district who should attend are like someone who knows our building.
Sure.
So our custodial director will come. Mm-hmm. They said someone who has a key to every room and closet.
There is a person that has that key.
Yeah. And so they'll actually come to visit Pittsfield High, and then they'll also come to Taconic.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I learned through the West Side Project is that part of the state decision is looking at your entire district, and they support decisions that are in the best interest of your whole district.
So knowing that obviously Taconic High School is fairly new within the last decade,
mm-hmm.
That's going to look a lot different to them than the almost 100-year-old building at Pittsfield High. What are the main things at Pittsfield High that are deficient at this point? As the mayor had said, it's not that it's going to prevent kids from going to school mm-hmm. there. We're not at the critical stage where you would have to close the building and put them somewhere else. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But there are some critical things that need to work, like, for instance, the heating system, right?
Right. And that's a critical piece. Yeah. The building is aging.
Mm-hmm.
And as buildings age, you just want to make sure, that we had some cold rooms last year.
Mm.
And we had to really work on that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cold enough to where we had to close the building.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, we had to move students to a different room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's problems like that where it's not ideal.
And some of that is the piping in the walls, right? Basically behind mm-hmm. the brick walls. Anyone mm-hmm. who's been to Pittsfield High School knows that it's basically built like a tank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these pipes have been there for almost 100 years. It got a new boiler, I think, last year or the year before. But that doesn't solve all the problems. And then when you start getting into, okay, how do you replace these pipes?
Right.
That's when you start getting into the real money, right?
Right. So it's
and then ADA type things.
Mm-hmm,
you have one elevator
mm-hmm,
in the building,
mm-hmm,
but
right.
anybody who's had to have mobility of getting into PHS knows that you're getting up an old ramp. You're going to one side of the building for the elevator, and then the other side of the building. So I would imagine some of those things must play in.
Yep, it's I think any district with a historical building
mm-hmm.
like ours, these are the decisions that we make when the building means a lot to the community,
yeah.
we just have to have a restoration plan.
Yeah. And so this is basically just the very beginning of that whole process of knowing what we're in for, what it could cost, what amount that the state might provide to help with that.
Right.
And then some decision points will come later on, like, do you build another new building or do you mm-hmm. just put more money into Pittsfield High, and how long will that last? Will it be a 30-year, 50-year? I mean, already we're on the 50 years mm-hmm. after the 1970s.
Yeah, and I think some of one of the purposes of the visit is to determine the level of need. Because, again, they're looking at applications all across the state, and typically they will invest in a building that really needs serious updating. So mm-hmm. they'll let us know,
yeah.
where we fall among that list.
But best case scenario, this isn't something that's happening tomorrow or this year. This is a more long-term project, especially because the Crosby Building project is still going on. And I think the state sort of limits you for how many building projects you can have at one time.
Right. There is a limit.
Mm.
We also have to think carefully about the financing
mm-hmm.
and pacing the financing of
right.
of our facility.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's something, as I have the mayor on the show every once in a while, I'm sure he'll talk about that and how many different projects we can have in the hopper for the city at one time and what that impact has on the taxpayer, for sure. Well, Dr. Latifa Phillips, I can't believe it, but we've already reached that part of the program where we have to say goodbye. My goodness, we got through a lot today. Any last words that you want to mention for people coming back to school for this coming term?
No, just again, the reminder is August 31st, Monday. We'll welcome, doors will be open, students 710 at Pittsfield High, 755 at our middles, and 850 at our elementaries.
That's great. And so the last few days of summer, enjoy it, kids. Enjoy it, families. Or maybe the families are looking forward to the kids going back. I don't know. I'll leave that to them. But thanks again for being here, and hope to have you back on after school starts, and we'll get an update.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Morning Drive. Sean Sayre here with you, and have a great day.